You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
I've got Morgan Elise with me. Morgan, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing well. I know that you went to a recent live event. Tell us a little bit about that, Morgan. How was it?
I went to SmackDown Live last night, and it was amazing. I had so much fun. I went with a couple friends, and we all had a blast.
That's great. That is great. Now, Morgan, I couldn't help but notice I followed you on Instagram. I saw that you were connected to some of the people I've interviewed and people I've talked to in the past. And I thought, you know, I saw you post a video about you training, and I had to reach out to you. And from there, you and I sparked a conversation. You told me about some of the challenges you face. Morgan, you're currently training for in-ring competition. Is that right?
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about that training and some of the challenges of your training. Tell us what goes into training to get in the ring.
Well, in my opinion, or if you don't have the dedication to get in the ring, like, you need to be like 100% committed to it, and you need to have the passion to do it. I have had 4 different surgeries on my legs, and it took the last surgery for my doctor to finally be like, well, if you want to wrestle, go wrestle. So I'm very lucky to have some connections in the wrestling world, and my trainer has actually been very patient with me learning, because everything you do in the ring, you're not going to learn it overnight. It's going to take time.
Right. You mentioned you had 4 major surgeries. Now, when I talked to you, you said you had suffered from femoral antiversion and external antiversion. Tell us a little bit about that, and what was it like going through the process of these surgeries?
So what that is basically my thighs were turned inward and my feet were turned outward. So I didn't have the pigeon-toed, but I was kind of like, not pigeon-toed. My legs were the other way. And whenever I would walk, my knees would knock, so I would trip over myself constantly, and I would get bullied at school over it. So I got tired of it. And at that point, I had fell into, like, I guess, depressed stage, because I knew, like, my first question when I was diagnosed with it was, would I be able to wrestle? And my doctor told me no. So that honestly broke my heart just a little bit. But I had my right leg. When people ask me, like, when I tell them I've had both my legs broken, they're like, at the same time? I was like, no, it was like a separate surgery. I had one leg broken, and I had the rod placed in my thigh and the plate and screws placed in my shin. And then that would heal, and then I would go and have the other one done. That was the first 2. And the last 2 that I had were just to take the screws and the plates out, so the rods are still there. And
wow. So you had 4, you mentioned you had 4 surgeries, and both times, you know, you had your legs broken separate times.
Right.
You told me that you had a titanium rod placed in both of your thighs and a plate, as well as 5 screws placed in your shin.
I did.
Tell us a little bit about what it's like to go through the rehabilitation process of that, because I imagine that you had to do a lot of physical therapy.
Actually, the first surgery that I had, I did do physical therapy, but the second time I did not. So currently one of my legs is stronger than the other, so now I'm constantly in the gym trying to get both legs equally strong. But as far as, like, recovery and stuff, the first cast I was in it for, I believe, 2 months. And the second time I was in a cast, I was out of it in 15 days.
Wow. It's pretty fast healing that you did. So
yeah.
You mentioned that when you got diagnosed with this, you suffered a lot of bullying and that's really unfortunate. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what that was like. Did you have a support system in place to help you through that, or you know, did you have to kind of go through that alone?
So during the bullying stage, I basically wanted to, like, quit watching wrestling. Like, I was like, I'm done with this. Like, females don't wrestle often, and everybody told me that. They would tell me, like, I would break a leg, or I look like a stick, or I look like a twig, and you'll never make it, and blah, 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 blah. And I did have a support system. At first, I didn't really think anything of it, but when it was on a constant basis, I finally went and told my mom, and my 3 best friends were pretty much always there for me and stood up for me. I remember I was taking a test one day in class, and it was like a survey thing, like, what do you want to do when you're older? Well, I decided to ask the teacher, what would professional wrestling fall under? Well, not only did she laugh at me, but the entire class did, besides one of my best friends. And I just sat there and just took it. But as soon as I got home, I was like, I'm done, I quit. But my mom was like, she pretty much gave me my confidence back and told me I could do anything I wanted. So she pulled me out of school, and I'm doing homeschooling now.
Well, that's an unfortunate thing that, you know, the person that should have been the first one to encourage you, which was your teacher, should, you know, fell out of that. It's a shame that they didn't see that. They should have encouraged you in that moment rather than feed into what everybody else is doing, you know, and that's really lacking right now in our society, is we don't encourage people as much as we ought to. Do you have any advice for people that have dealt with bullying? What they should do, how they can get through that?
I talked to somebody. At first I did not, and it was literally eating me alive. Like, I don't have a reason why I started doing some pretty bad stuff where self-harming is concerned, and my mom found out, and that's when she really noticed that I wasn't as okay as I said I was. But suicide's not the answer, neither is self-harming, and talk to somebody, because talking helped me a lot.
Now, despite these obstacles that were placed before you, you know, people not believing you, your mother clearly believed in you, and now your hard work is starting to pay off. You're getting closer and closer. I noticed you've got an in-ring name picked out. Do you have any wrestlers that you in particular look up to, that you want to be like, that you'd like to perform in the ring with?
Right now, like, I look up to my trainer, Chris Michaels, a lot. He's amazing. He's been there for me. I believe since my second surgery is when I met him. Crazy Steve, Rosemary. Dolph Ziggler, I've met him once.
Yep, Dolph, right up in my neck of the woods, Ohio.
Luke Lee's also a really good wrestler. I've watched many of his YouTube videos with him wrestling. I think it would be cool to get in the ring with him one day. I'm all for in-gender matches, so I'm hoping I can eventually get to that point.
I was going to ask you about that. You know, you seem to have a wide range of wrestlers that you watch, so you're clearly familiar with multiple promotions. It's pretty clear you know Impact, you know House of Hardcore, obviously, through Crazy Steve and Rosemary. Seem to be familiar with WWE. You went to a SmackDown Live event, you know Dolph Ziggler. There's a few promotions that do intergender matches. You know, Lucha Underground is kind of really known for that. Would you be interested in wrestling for a company like that?
Definitely.
So moving forward, you know, I've talked to a lot of different guests, and I've had wrestlers on the show. I talked to Joe, like I said, I mentioned before the show started, I talked to Jody Threat on Sunday, and about was the craft of being in the ring and the things that you have to know, the things that you have to do as far as timing and selling and dealing out punishment, being able to catch people and communicating in the ring without giving too much away to the audience. What do you think right now is your strength right now in your training? I mean, how far along in your training do you feel you are as far as getting in a ring with another competitor?
I still have a very long way to go, honestly. I've only had about maybe 7 training sessions, so I'm literally – well, James Ellsworth pretty much called me the – like, I talked to him about training, and, you know, I'm still kind of a baby when it comes to, like, getting in the ring. So, like, if somebody was to try and put me in a match right now, I would have, like I can't even take a back elbow right now.
Everybody's got to start somewhere. There's been loads of wrestlers, though, who've been thin-framed, who've been smaller. There's even been wrestlers with physical infirmities. Zach Gowan comes to mind. I don't know how familiar you are with him, but he put on some tremendous matches in the independent scene, and even had a small run in the WWE, and he only had one leg, but he did a fantastic job. That being said, I'm actually kind of surprised that people thought you were too thin framed to be in the ring. I know you're rather thin, but there's been a number of thin wrestlers. They're still very slender wrestlers today that compete. I know Summer Rae is very, very slender. And she competes with the WWE, I know, for a while, not now, but for a while, even Eva Lise of Lucha Underground was a little on the slender side. She's put on some muscle since last matches that I've seen her in, but that doesn't seem to be really much of a reason for people to not believe you could do it. There's a lot of very thin wrestlers. Is there a particular style of wrestling that you've watched that you really, well, I know we mentioned people you like in the ring, but is there anybody's style of performance that you really like?
I'm really into, like, high flying.
Yeah. So you kind of like, Eddie Guerrero or Rey Mysterio.
I'm honestly into, like, honestly any type of wrestling. Like, I could see doing something like Rey Mysterio would be really cool, or Eddie Guerrero.
Have you decided, I know we played your theme music at the beginning, but have you thought about, have you looked at people's signature maneuvers and really kind of looked at them and seen anything that you like, anything that you think you could you could implement in your training that you would like to incorporate into your repertoire of doing things? Anything anybody does that you really, really like to see?
So I honestly have tried to put a couple of my friends in, like, AJ Lee's Black Widow. She is the woman or woman who really made me want to, like, wrestle. Like, I've been wanting to wrestle since I was, like, 2, but, like, once I realized who she was and all that and saw her moves, I was like, I think I want to do that.
And then, know, that's another 10-frame wrestler, so that's cool. Go ahead.
A lot of superstars right now are using, like, the super kick, and I think that would be something that I could use. Or, like, Nikki Bella's rack attack before she had to stop doing that because of her neck injury.
Yeah. She took a nasty neck injury off that.
Yeah.
But that's all pretty cool stuff. I know super kick is kind of really taken up a notch. I know a lot of wrestlers love to use a super kick. Shawn Michaels used it for years. Dolph Ziggler probably today does it just about as good as you can do it. But not only that, he sells it about as good as you can sell it, getting hit by one.
Right.
Is that something that concerns you? Is some of the content that you have to take, or do you kind of relish that challenge?
I'm not necessarily worried about, like, getting my teeth or something knocked out of my face, but I do have, like, some worries when it comes to being in the ring. I guess my main thing are my legs. Because, like, I have been told, like, it's possible for me to dislocate a rod in my leg, which that would take a lot to do, but I'm not really worried about getting all bruised up. I'm already bruised up from training, so I'm preparing myself.
Yeah. As far as taking contact and taking bumps in the ring is something that, you know, that comes with time. You get kind of used to that. Your body gets used to some of that light punishment. But, you know, you mentioned before that you'd be interested in doing, like, intergender matches. Is there anybody that right now, I know the WWE just did their Mixed Match Challenge, and that was sort of their foray into intergender wrestling, because for years they've backed off of that. But do you see anybody out there right now that you could say that they would be your tag team? If I put together a mixed match challenge right now, who would you like to be a tag team partner?
The first two names that come to my head are actually Chris Michaels and Crazy Steve.
Yeah. But, I mean, that'd be cool. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, Crazy Steve already has quite a bit of experience tagging with Rosemary. They did really well together. I know they had Abyss alongside them for a while, but, I mean, Rosemary and Crazy Steve had a few matches together as well, both on the independent circuit and with Impact. Matter of fact, they did one together not too long ago against, I think it was the Fist Takers, I think, not too long ago. I want to say it was. Choice, I mean, obviously you're familiar with your trainer. But, you know, Crazy Steve is another great example of somebody overcoming the odds. You know, I talked to him. He's legally blind. And
right.
He managed to go through the same, you know, sort of training regimen, really rigorous training regimen that you're going to have to go through. And now he's really carving out a name for himself at House of Hardcore. I mean, he really made a name for himself on the microphone and in the ring for the tremendous amount of athleticism and risk-taking that he was willing to do for Impact. I know he's very beloved by Impact, but he's very beloved by House of Hardcore right now for the matches that he's been putting on. So do you see yourself as being more conservative with your in-ring? I know you mentioned that the only thing you're really kind of worried about is hurting your legs, but does that deter you in your mind from taking risks, you know, like Steve does in some of these hardcore matches, or would you like to be in like one of those?
I think it would be really cool to be in one.
I know. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I know that there's like, I don't know. Like, I could see myself being in one, but like, it's professional wrestling. I've always been told to take a leap. So, like, I'm not gonna lie. Before I started training, I was absolutely terrified to get into a ring, and now I'm in a ring. So, any fear that I have, I'm going to do it and just overcome that fear.
You know, some of the matches, you know, some of the wrestlers you've mentioned that you kind of like to watch, they've been in some very, you know, high flying, pace action, hard hitting matches. You know, you take Rosemary. For example, she might have had one of the best matches in recent memory in her rivalry with Mia Yim. You might know her as Jade. But they had a last knockout standing match that was fantastic. They also had a monstrous ball match, which was the equivalent of a hardcore match with trash cans and tables and stuff. Do you want to put somebody through a table, Morgan?
I do. I think that would be interesting.
So, but you'd rather, but I mean, you're cool with picking somebody up and putting them through a table? You're totally cool with that?
Totally fine with it. They'll just end up coming back after me, which is completely fine.
Well, I mean, they don't always come back. You know, sometimes that table is a match ender.
True.
So I guess, you know, you mentioned that would be kind of cool. Is there any promotion right now that you've seen that you think is kind of raising the bar, is kind of like the place to be right now? I know that WWE is like, you know, what many people consider the big time, you know, and, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling is big. Ring of Honor is big. Impact is really, really getting big now. What company do you have your eye on right now that you'd like to go to?
Probably, like, my goal is to, like, eventually, hopefully, to get to Impact, but I do have my eye on Tried and True Pro Wrestling, which is based in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Overdrive Pro, which is based at the Nashville Fairgrounds, and probably New South Championship Wrestling, which is based in Franklin, Kentucky.
That's pretty cool. I mean, if you looked at Rise and Shimmer as well, I mean, I know they're kind of carving out a path. I mean, obviously, Smash right over the border in Canada is a place where a lot of people, I know Rosemary really kicked off her career there as Courtney Rush. Allie from Impact wrestled as Cherry Bomb there.
Nice.
Would you be interested in going somewhere like that?
Definitely.
All right, Morgan, we're going to take a short commercial break, and when we come back, Morgan, I gotta know when we come back if there's any women out there in the wrestling world that you'd like to take out. So when we come back, we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
I'm Black Man, saving mankind, one stereotype at a time.
To the Blackmobile. To the corner of Martin Luther King Street and Malcolm X Boulevard, pronto.
Will Black Man make it to the crime on time? Or will he be on CPT? Stay tuned at ChrisFraleyPresents.com.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is a perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
And we're back, Morgan. I hope you enjoyed a little reprieve. Now we're going to get into the big questions. I need to know, Morgan, are you championship material? Could I put a title belt on you? Is there somebody out there in the wrestling world that you have got your eyes on that you'd like to take down a notch?
I want to say Rosemary, but at the same time, like, I don't think I want to mess with the demon right now.
I mean, I admire the candor. I admire it. Go ahead.
Stormy Lee. She is, I've seen her, like, I'll go to events that she's at and watch her wrestle, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be a day where I get to step in the ring with her, and I cannot wait for that day.
Those are good choices. So, you know, you look at some of these, competitors. You know, I know Rosemary comes to mind. I got to admire you for setting your sights kind of high. I mean, as far as women go right now, I mean, she's definitely one of the best. I mean, you think about the showmanship that she's got, her connection with her fans, the kind of risks she's willing to take, the storytelling ability that she's got. She cuts a heck of a promo. And then in the ring, she's just so punishing.
Right.
And she can take a lot of punishment. You see her in matches with women like Taya Valkyrie, and then you look on. Then, if you look outside of that, you look outside, you see competitors like Mia Yim. And if we return to, you know, sort of more mainstream, I guess if you want to call it that. I mean, I think the top right now, as far as the WWE is concerned, you look at women like Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, even Sonya Deville and Shayna Baszler, Ember Moon right now, they're all kind of just lighting it up. Charlotte Flair, Asuka, obviously, both at the top of their respective ranks. Any of those, any big names out there, you know, like that, that you'd like to take a swing at as well?
Definitely Charlotte Flair. I think Charlotte's my main one right now.
I mean, you look at some of these women, you know, Charlotte Flair, even people on the independent scene are really taking notice of her in the ring. She really works hard to put on a heck of a show. She works hard to really tell a good story. And I think you look on the independent circuit, and there's just as much talent. There's just as much.
Right.
You look at someone like Tessa Blanchard, who is just constantly putting on tremendous matches. Obviously, another name that comes to mind for me is Jessica Havoc, who was, I believe, still is the AAW champ. I don't know how familiar you are with her, but she's wrestled for Impact. She's wrestled for AAW. She's wrestled in several places. I think she also wrestled at Shine. And then you look at somebody like Lufisto, who's also quite good. Do you think that you can step into the ring with these women and really just change the – do you see yourself as being able to do that? Is that your ultimate goal, to get in there and raise the bar?
Yes, eventually. Once I get to where I need to be, and I think that me and other women will raise the bar, will change women's wrestling. Women's wrestling has been changing, and I know that there are some women who want to train and don't, but then I know that there are women who will train, and I think that will be like the next generation of women to come into wrestling.
I mean, you're coming into this at a very exciting time. You know, we mentioned off a plethora of names, but Impact has had women main event their events. I know Lucha Underground has had women main event their events. You know, Sexy Star is a name that comes to mind. Main evented a number of times for their promotion and has been a heck of a competitor for them. I think ultimately, the big question is, do you think right now that we're in a place for women's wrestling where women should be main eventing the big time? And I think you know what I mean by the big time. WrestleMania. Are we ready for a women's championship main event for WrestleMania?
I believe that we are. I've been waiting for women to start main eventing pay-per-views literally since I started watching wrestling. And at the point, whenever I was going through everything, when I wanted to stop watching, it really frustrated me how, like, I don't want this to sound like that or anything, but men are always main eventing something, and I'm ready to see the women start main eventing because they work really hard, and everybody is now superstars and equal. So I think that women should also be inventing.
One of the things that I've said for a while, and I'm a big fan of the sport myself, I've said this for a while, I've been waiting for all these promotions to have tag team division for the women. There seems to be a plethora of female superstars on a lot of these big promotions rosters now, and they seemingly just don't have any idea what to do with them. They have one championship. And here, I know that NXT, for example, the developmental brand, although now it's almost its own brand from the WWE, is now got a North American championship for the men. It's like they have a British championship, North American championship, the NXT championship, and the NXT Tag Team
United Kingdom.
The United Kingdom championship, I'm sorry. And these are all championships that only men can win.
Right.
So I think, you know, there's certain promotions. I believe Shine and Rise both have female tag teams divisions with titles. I believe, I'm pretty sure Smash and Shine both have tag team titles for women. I don't know if Smash does for sure, but I know Shine does. Do you think that all these promotions need to have tag team divisions for their women?
Yes.
Go ahead.
If women and men, like everybody says, that we're all equal, then I think that we should get equal titles to fight for, because it would make sense.
Well, I look at it like this. You just went to a live event. You went to a live event, and I know that while you were at your live event, you were probably there for, what, 3 hours?
I believe so.
Roughly? Yeah. You got a 3-hour show, and they have – they've got only, you know, maybe one segment dedicated to the women. They have an entire set of segments dedicated to men. They usually even have a throwaway match in almost every event. For almost every wrestling promotion, they have a match where they just have somebody come out and squash a guy. If they eliminated that and brought in women's titles, you think that would really start to see the bar get raised again?
I believe so.
So I think the real question is, where do you see women's wrestling at in the near future? I mean, do you see women's wrestling finally taking it to the next level and really starting to main event these major events, or do you think we're still a little ways off from seeing that?
I think if all the women keep pushing and fighting like they always have been and always will be, I think that we will eventually have more women matches, more segments, more, hopefully more titles. I just think we need to continue to fight and call. Like, I went to Tried and True Pro, and there was a women's match for the women's championship, and everybody was literally on their feet and chanting, "This is wrestling, women wrestling." So I think with the wrestlers and the fans having a voice, I think that will get the women where we need to be.
Now, I don't know how familiar you are with some of these other promotions, but I watch as many of them as I have time to watch. I don't have as much time as I would like to have to dedicate to it, because I'm a pretty busy guy myself. But I remember not long ago I watched Lucha Underground, and I don't remember what season that they were on, but Sexy Star, their, you know, top dog in the women's wrestling, won the world championship, not the women's world championship, the world championship, the only major title that they have for that promotion outside the tag team titles and their Gift of the Gods championship. She was the Lucha Underground champion. She beat a man. We're going to get to see in some of these bigger promotions, do you think it's time for women to be able to, if they're not going to give you guys a title of your own, or these other, you know, the men have an Intercontinental Championship, they have the United States Championship, and, you know, you and I have talked about all these other championships that they've got. They've got loads and loads of titles. They got more titles than they probably have ideas what to do with. Do you think it's time for some of these women to say, hey, maybe the only way I can get into the main event of WrestleMania or WrestleCon is to wrestle for the World Heavyweight Championship?
I've always thought, like, if women don't get more titles, I think that they should just go after the men's title, in my opinion. I've always thought that since I was extremely little.
I mean, you said it best, but I think what you're getting at is if the women don't start getting some more titles, they might have to just go take some of these guys' titles. I kind of like where you're going with this. You know, one of the things that I've talked that people have talked about, and you might have some thoughts on this, is part of wrestling is having to suspend your disbelief, your belief and disbelief. You've got to look at these situations and suspend your disbelief of what's going on. You know that there is a risk that these people are going to take, that they could get hurt, but you also know that they're telling a story, that, you know, the win is predetermined. You may not know necessarily who's going to win, but you know that it's scripted, that the winner's chosen beforehand, and you kind of have to suspend your disbelief on that, but you also have to suspend your disbelief on how, you know, people are hurt. People don't always get hurt when they wrestle. I mean, you do get roughed up, but you don't always get hurt. One of the arguments I think people have made about women competing, which I think is utterly ridiculous, and I want to get your thoughts on this. The argument that I've made is women couldn't compete for a title with the men because no one's going to suspend their disbelief that a woman could beat one of these men for their championships. Now, what do you think about that?
Honestly, like, I don't know how to explain it.
Well, I mean, I gave you the example of Sexy Star, you know, winning her title from a man and becoming, you know, sort of the face of her company for a period of time. But I think if we circle back to a question, and maybe I can help you out a little bit. The idea that a lot of people have is a lot of these bookers, I should say, people that are booking these matches and setting them up are saying nobody's going to believe that, you know, Charlotte Flair could beat Brock Lesnar. No one's going to believe that. But yet they're still going to book these matches where they're going to have Roman Reigns get tossed around like a rag doll 3 weeks, get put in an ambulance and what have you, get carted out of the arena. And then somehow he's going to come back, and, you know, I don't want to say that I know what's going to happen at WrestleMania because I don't, but I have a pretty good idea that since Brock Lesnar, the word is he's on his way out, that the time has come, they're going to crown Roman Reigns their champion again. Now, I don't know how much you've been paying attention. I don't know how much you've been paying attention to the WWE, but you know, for the past couple of weeks leading up to this WrestleMania match between him and Brock Lesnar, which is set up as a grudge match, because if you remember, years back, he and Brock Lesnar had a match. They booked it to where Roman Reigns is going to get hellaciously beaten every week, and now he's going to overcome the odds. He's going to somehow out-tough, handing it to him this whole time, and he's going to win the championship. Now, that all sounds a little far-fetched, doesn't it?
That's how my mindset is. It's kind of like I have my thought on the whole John Cena and Undertaker thing is I don't know if The Undertaker is going to show up at WrestleMania, but, like, they've been building The Undertaker versus John Cena up, and we haven't heard anything from The Undertaker.
Right.
But I feel like he will end up showing up at Mania.
We might not get a match with The Undertaker, but I think Cena at least gets attacked by The Undertaker at WrestleMania. They may just forego the match, although the rumor is that there will be a match.
Right.
Because the dream match has been the quote unquote dream match has been called for forever. Even though The Undertaker and John Cena have wrestled each other, I don't know how many times, too many to count. Probably they have wrestled each other a number of times. They just haven't wrestled each other at WrestleMania. So apparently that's the big dream. But you know, if you've got to suspend your disbelief that Roman Reigns, I don't care. He's a big guy. I know he's a big guy. I know he's, you know, athletic. He's very, you know, whether you like him or not, the guy is a heck of an athlete. But when you're getting carted out of the arena, and pushed into an ambulance, and a week later you're back, I mean, if people can believe that, why can't they believe I guess what I'm getting at is if people can believe that storyline, why can't they believe that a woman could beat a guy in a match? You know, maybe not necessarily Charlotte Flair versus Brock Lesnar. Maybe that's an extreme example, but you're telling me that Nia Jax can't beat Seth Rollins? Shayna Baszler can't get in there and beat up Dolph Ziggler or one of these guys?
I think that they could.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Some of these women are tremendous athletes. Some of them are pretty strong. Even if they had to cheat, they could win. But, you know, that's what I'm getting at. Do you think the part of the problem is not that the fans couldn't suspend their disbelief for the match, but part of the problem might be that there's more money and perhaps, you know, keeping them separate, or maybe they just don't know how to tell a good story anymore? They lose you there, Morgan?
Yeah, slightly.
Okay. I guess let's dial it back in. I guess the question I'm getting at is, do you think that what's holding women back from holding, like, the major title of the company that they're in is not that the fans, it's the bookers?
Yes.
The creative teams are holding them back, not the fans. The creative teams.
Yes. I think that if I know a lot of people who want to see, like, the women come after the men or the women get the men titles. I know a lot of people who want that to happen. But the bookers just won't book it.
What do you think it would take? Do you think we need for some of the more prominent names in female wrestling to come out and say, look, we all know why you're not letting us win these championships? Or do you think that they should come out and say, look, we believe that we can compete with the very best athletes, period. The solution might be to just eliminate separate titles and just make it possible for all these athletes to compete for all the titles?
Yes.
See, and I have to wonder if that might not be the way to go. I'm not so sure how familiar you are with various wrestling promotions. I know you mentioned Tried and True and WWE, and you're clearly familiar with Impact. But, you know, in some of these independent promotions, that's what they do. There's only, you know, a couple of titles, and everybody is clawing and fighting to get to that title. I know, for example, I'll circle back to Lucha Underground. I know that the Lucha Underground Championship, that's the premier title. That's the title. They have the Gift of the Gods Championship, which is like almost like their money in the bank contract. You can kind of cash it in any time and go beat up the champ. It's a title, but, I mean, it's temporary. But
right.
That title is the premier title that you can win for the company, and that makes you the top dog. And then they have their Trios Championships, which is their equivalent to the tag teams, although it's with three people. But that also opens the door. Do you think that perhaps it's time to just have mixed tag team divisions?
I think that would be really cool to see.
I mean, I know that the WWE just did the mixed match challenge where they had a number of their female superstars and their male superstars pair up for the very first time in a tournament. But I don't think they really even won anything. I think it was just like bragging rights to say we won. I didn't see any title belts or trophies or anything handed to them. Not that they needed it, but do you think that that would be the best way to do it? That would really get people excited about women in wrestling even more, to see them kind of competing at that level?
I think so. Like, me as a fan, I remember when in WWE they did, I think it was Charlotte and Rusev versus Sasha and Enzo.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a huge pop over that. Even I got excited over that.
I mean, you look at some of these, athletes, you know, we mentioned a few of them. I know Charlotte, you know, is sort of right now, and at least in the WWE, is the woman to beat. But we saw her and Bobby Roode teaming up, and that was kind of cool to see. The mixed match challenge was kind of cool. But it would have been kind of cool, I think, to do it for a championship. So do you think
right.
the best way for – so if you were booking, if you were in creative, do you think that you could put together a tag team division with women and men together competing for the same titles?
I think I could.
That's something to consider right there. It's a pretty interesting idea. Instead of just having tag team championships, just having team divisions. Because, like I said, and you've said it, there's so much talent that's not being used. A lot of these people leave their promotions that they're with because there's nothing for them to do, right?
Right.
But I think you said it best, though. Women in wrestling have come a very long way. I remember as a kid watching, and I've got some years on you. I remember as a kid watching women in wrestling, and most of the time, women were just accompanying guys to the ring. You know, they were just kind of like arm candy, like, ooh, look at this guy. He can get this beautiful woman. And then I remember after that we saw people like Mickie James and Nydia and Trish Stratus getting in the ring. And, I mean, yes, it was still about, you know, at the time it was still about, you know, how they looked. And then, of course, we got Lita and a few of the other, you know, more mainstream women in wrestling who really started setting the bar and wrestling for women early on, at least in the WWE. But I remember watching that unfold and thinking, oh, that's pretty interesting. And then eventually they come around with the Women's Championship again. They had that years ago, and then they kind of went away for a little while, came back. But some of these promotions are doing it right. You know, you look at Impact, you look at their card. I know they've got WrestleCon coming up in New Orleans. Are you going to watch that? Are you excited to see that?
Yes.
I am too. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm pretty excited to see what they can draw up. Two promotions going at it. It's pretty interesting. What matches on that are you, you know, kind of interested in the most?
If I'm being honest, all of them.
I know it was supposed to, they were supposed to have a Taya Valkyrie versus Rosemary, but I believe Rosemary got hurt. Now it's Taya versus Allie from Impact. Allie
mm-hmm.
Impact. That should still be a pretty exciting match. Do you like either of those superstars? I mean, who are you going to be rooting for in some of these matches?
Definitely Allie. She's I started watching Impact, I believe in 2015. It was either 2015 or 2016, but whenever her and Rosemary started their feud, because I had quit watching for a little bit, and I started
uh-huh.
watching as soon as I heard about Allie. And then when Allie and Rosemary became the tag or started tag teaming, that's when I really got back into it.
And it's interesting you bring that up, because that's really a storied rivalry in Impact, but also outside of Impact. Their rivalry really kicked off when Allie was her heel persona, Cherry Bombs.
Right.
And Rosemary was wrestling under the name Courtney Rush, and then transitioned into Rosemary. Was a pretty interesting bit of storytelling, but they had a very chaotic and very extreme rivalry, and that carried over into Impact. And of course, now they've both come from Smash to Impact, and they still both go to all these independent wrestling places where they cut their teeth to wrestle for their fans. But do you think that those kind of rivalries are what we need for women's wrestling to really take off? Is it really just more time that they need to build these stories?
I honestly think it just depends on who's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Or who the two people are.
So you think that maybe if you don't have quite as recognizable names now, that it's a little bit harder to build a rivalry that people can really be interested in?
Yes.
So how do you feel? I want to go on to another big controversy in the world of women's wrestling right now. Maybe it's not controversial anymore, but it kind of sort of is, I guess. How do you feel about Ronda Rousey going from MMA to the WWE?
I don't have a problem with it. I think that she wanted to be in WWE, so she did what she had to do to get there. To me, that sounds like, because I know some wrestlers don't want to go to WWE, but I know most of them, that's where they're trying to go. But
right.
I think that that's where she wanted to be, so she did what she had to do to get there. And some people like it, some people don't. I don't have a problem with it.
I know a lot of people are saying that, you know, Ronda getting picked up, she's only getting picked up for her name, and, you know, she's being thrust into this big match with Stephanie and Triple H, and it's overshadowing these other women who worked really hard to be there. But if you look at the WrestleMania card, I know a lot of people are going to say Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns is the biggest match on that card. But, I mean, if you think about it, probably right up there with it, probably one of the biggest matches we're going to see of the year is Charlotte Flair trying to snap Asuka's unbeaten streak in the WWE. I mean, one way or the other, we're going to see something historic, right? Either Asuka is going to be undefeated and win the championship, or Charlotte Flair will be the first person to snap her unbeaten streak, and it'll be at WrestleMania. So either way, we get a historic moment. But
right.
Arguably, that two of probably the top-tier names in the WWE as far as women go. I mean, we could argue that. I mean, there's certainly some other women in the WWE who've cut their teeth there and proven that they can be tremendous competitors. You know, Natalia Hart comes to mind. Obviously, Ember Moon in NXT, Shayna Baszler, they have a tremendous rivalry going on right now. You know, Paige and her faction, Absolution. And then, of course, you've got Ruby Riott and the Riott Squad are kind of making an impact. But do you think that they have a chance to steal the show?
I think so. I think that if they build up the I think if they build up the storyline even higher,
mm-hmm.
then I think they could really get where they need to be. Not like they're not now, but like...
Right. But maybe see them in a main event, or maybe just be the match everybody's talking mm-hmm. about, in other words.
Right.
I know a lot of people are looking at Ronda, and they say, you know, she's only there because of her name. But, you know, a lot of people are saying Ronda's put in a lot of time and effort into being the WWE, and she said multiple times in multiple interviews that it's where she wants to be. She doesn't want a part-time. She wants to do it all the time. She's been a WWE fan since she was a kid. She loves wrestling. Do you think that the crossover from mixed martial arts to the WWE is good for wrestling?
I think that if you're going from martial arts to wrestling, I think if you have enough training because they're two separate things. So you're going to have to, like, train for probably a very long time. But as long as you have the training that you need, then you can do it.
I mean, you know, you look at some of these athletes. I know I mentioned, you know, we've been talking about Ronda, but you look at somebody like Shayna Baszler, who's got that MMA background and really plays that up in her character, really makes her more of a dangerous sort of, you know, adversary to deal with. And they've done the same thing with Brock Lesnar. And so far they've done the same thing with Ronda Rousey to a degree. But do you think that Ronda's more than a name? You think she's going to be good for business? You see her competing long term?
I think I can definitely see her competing for a long term.
Go ahead.
If she says that she wants to be a full time wrestler and she puts the time and effort into it, then I think she could do it.
So what are your thoughts about, you know, what some of the other wrestlers were female wrestlers were saying, women wrestlers were saying about Ronda, that, you know, they didn't want her there. You know, they've worked really hard and her spot belongs to somebody else, and it's unfair that she's there. She's being given an unfair opportunity. Do you think Ronda's been given an unfair opportunity?
No. I think that there are some wrestlers who, like, I think there are some wrestlers, like, Ronda is not the only one who's gotten big opportunities like this one. Paige got a title shot on her first day of WWE, and she won, and nobody had a problem with that.
Yeah, she did, in fact, do that. She came in, she won a title match, and she did so over AJ Lee, at the time, the longest reigning women's champ in WWE.
Right.
You know, and I mean, obviously at that point, with Backstage and the CM Punk controversy behind the scenes, AJ Lee was on her way out. But, you know, you look at that and people didn't have a problem with Paige doing it. Do you think that there's jealousy or resentment towards Ronda, that because she earned, you know, so much fame before coming to the WWE, that now women in the WWE that are already there kind of feel threatened by her, or maybe they see that maybe she's going to usurp their place there?
I mean, I can see it being jealousy, but it just depends on, like, I think it depends on the wrestler and how long that person has been there.
I mean, you said during the show already that, you know, obviously a lot of people, their goal is to get to the WWE, right? I mean, it's considered by many to be the big time. It's the big leagues. It's like swing, you know, for many people, that's the place to go. I mean, for other people, it just depends, you know, on their preferences. I know Impact is really getting big now. People are really trying to get there. And I know that, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling has just been blowing up. I mean, people are wanting to go there in droves as well. I mean, it's kind of the place to be out there. It's the Japanese WWE, basically.
Right.
But with these big promotions and with a name like Ronda Rousey coming in, do you think that bonding well in the WWE, you know, if they're really threatened by their position, I mean, there's all these big promotions that they could be going to if they really don't like it. Do you think that their response to her being there is appropriate, or do you think maybe they should go a different direction?
I think that if they don't like it, I think they should just keep it to themselves, because it's not going to do any good to be like, I don't think you deserve to be here or whatever. I don't think that's going to do any good.
Right.
But if they don't like it, then they can either suck it up or go find another promotion.
you know, I'm glad to bring that up. I mean, there's so many women wrestlers right now on the indie scene that are looking for spots. I mean, they're constantly looking to book their schedules up. I know Jody right now is just starting out. She's booking up her spots wherever she can. But, I mean, you think about how many of these superstars, not just the women, but the men, too, who complain about where they are. I know Dolph Ziggler was on the verge of leaving the company because
right.
he wasn't getting the starlight like he felt he was deserving. You know, he became the guy that they were using to build up their main eventers, and he didn't like that. But at the same time, he was getting that nice, big, fat WWE check, and he was still in a lot of big matches. You know, win or
right.
not, I mean, still in these big matches. I mean, we saw a similar thing happen. I mean, we saw some semblance of that happen to Cody Rhodes, and then he kind of they kind of drove him away with the way that they treated him, and he did basically everything they asked him to do, and it was a different scenario with him. He was not going to main event. They just weren't going to let it happen, and they weren't going to put him in any big matches. They had nothing for him, so he left the company. But Dolph Ziggler has been in so many programs. He's held so many titles, been a United States champion. He's been an Intercontinental champion, and he's competed for tag team titles. So he's had a great deal of success. Do you think that these guys and these gals that have had so much success that are starting to sort of fade into the background a little bit, do you think that they should, you know, kind of suck it up and just build the talent that's coming in and kind of just be ready to move aside? Or do you think that they'd be better off just going to other promotions?
I think that if they really don't like helping, because what they're really doing is, I see it as they're helping push the, like, newer talent or talent that's trying to get somewhere. So I think that they are helping, but if they really don't like helping, then they can leave. Cody Rhodes, for example, he was in WWE and was getting absolutely nowhere. So he came to Ring of Honor, and now he's huge, pretty much, with Ring of Honor.
Yeah, he's been tremendous since he went there. And I think it's all part of fear that he brought with him. It was always going to be there inside of him the whole time. He could have always been a main eventer. It was just finding the right fit. And I think he's happy where he is. I don't even think he really has a whole lot of, you know, ill will towards the WWE. He's completely focused now on, I'm the Ring of Honor champion. I'm the face of this company.
Right.
And they've really taken it up a notch since he's been there with some of the matches that he's put on. But you look at these guys that are already in a position that so many people want to be in. There's thousands of wrestlers across the world who would love to be in the WWE. And some of them will never get there. And some of them, it's taken them, you know, 10, 15, even sometimes longer than that, years to get to the WWE. You look at a guy like Ricochet for Lucha Underground. He competed on the independent circuit. He competed in Mexico. And it's taken him all this time to get to the WWE. He's finally there. He's finally getting an opportunity. And you have guys that have been with the company for 18 years, you know, 20 years, who don't want to put over talent, who want to be the star, and have not realized that they're not what people, you know, they're not going to be the star. They're there to bring up other talent, and that's just as important. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yes.
I mean, I want to give you a good example. Goldust, you know, Cody Rhodes' brother, has been with the company 20 years now, I think. He's been there for a long time. I mean, he's competed under many guises, but he's been Goldust for a long part of his career. He's back to being Goldust again. He's been putting over talent for years.
Right.
Years. And, you know, when you see these guys that have been with the company for less time than him who don't want to put over talent, you know, they don't ever want to lose any matches. They want to be the guy. You know, do you find that you know, kind of, does that irk you at all? Does that ring, you know, strike a chord with you at all?
It kind of does, but at the same time, it kind of doesn't, because if they really didn't want to, like, help these other superstars, then they would just leave.
Right. And I mean, you have to, I mean, we've talked about it already, but I mean, when you're getting that big check and they tell you to go out there and this is the match you're going to be in, you know, there's so many people that would love to be in that position, that would love to be for 5 seconds be in the ring with a guy like Brock Lesnar, Goldberg, you know, Roman Reigns, any of these guys would love to get in there. Just have a moment with one of these guys, even if it was to just get Superman punched and be out of the ring and that's it. You know, we've seen a lot of people be enhancement talent over the years. If you came to a promotion and they asked you to be their enhancement talent to start out, would you be cool with putting over other superstars?
Yeah, I would go for it.
I mean, I've had wrestlers on here. I had Bob Cook on here. And for years, Bob Cook was an enhancement talent. He put over a lot of people. But he was in matches with a lot of big names. He was in a match, I believe, with Ricky Steamboat. He was in a match with a lot of people. He lost a lot of these matches. But people in the matches always thanked him afterwards. Hey, man, you did great. You made me look amazing. Thank you. You know, do you think that camaraderie still exists? Do you think there's a lot of people right now in the wrestling business that are maybe just out for themselves?
Repeat that for me, please.
Sure. So, I mean, you know, you've got people whose job is to put over talent. And, you know, there's a camaraderie, there's a brotherhood there where it's understood that, hey, this is what I'm here for. I'm here to help you. You know, we're both going to look good. I'm here to make you look even better. You're the guy. Same thing in the women's wrestling. You see that all the time. I mean, there was a couple of women who've been wrestling who their job was to go out and lose, right? That's what they were there for. So do you think that there's a sense of camaraderie between the wrestlers? You know, the people that are not as big stars, you think there's still enough of them out there that are happy to be putting over these other talents, that are happy to still just, you know, be the guy that's known for putting over everybody else and making them look good?
Yeah, and, like, even if it was, like, I mean, Mickie James wins some of her matches, but she's also helping, like, Alexa or...
Yeah.
Helping them get over.
And she's been a multi-time champion.
Exactly.
She'll go out and she'll lose to Nia Jax. She'll go out and she'll lose to Paige or Mandy Rose or one of these other stars. She'll eat a pin. She'll eat a loss. She'll take somebody's finisher. You know, and you want to talk about somebody who's paid their dues. Mickie James is a multi-time champion. She had to really work to get to that point. Value in having people that are willing to go out there and do that and look past their ego and build up talent?
I think so.
I've only got a couple more questions for you, Morgan.
Okay.
And then I'm going to let you go. So the first question is, we talked about some of these promotions and what the state of women's wrestling right now. Where do you think the most exciting place as far as women's wrestling is right now? Where do you think the most exciting place to compete would be right now?
I'm going to throw props at, again, tried and true. I have not missed an event. Well, I've been going to their event since 2016, and the fans there are insane. I get to be, like, I'm part of the crowd all the time, and the fans are what make all the matches interesting.
Okay. So you would you like to compete at Tried and True?
Yes, that is on like my, I guess, bucket list.
Bucket list. It's okay to have a bucket list. I think everybody needs a bucket list. Right now, if you could challenge any star for any promotion right now for their title, doesn't matter who it is, if you could compete with anybody of your choosing at the grandest stage of them all, WrestleMania, if you could compete with any superstar in the world, with any title in the world right now, who would you like to compete against?
I would love to face Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Next question. I ask every single guest this, Morgan. Did you enjoy your time on the show today?
And
would you like to come back? Would you like to come back
on
the show?
I would.
All right. Now, I'm gonna let you have these last few minutes. I want to talk about your where people can follow you on social media and where people can keep track of your progress. Where can people follow you, Morgan?
I have Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of it. My Instagram and Twitter is under MorganElise85, and then my Facebook is under MorganElise.
And any of you guys that are following me on social media, I'm connected to all of those. Just give it a follow off mine. Really appreciate it. Morgan, have you come up with ideas about the kind of Morgan Elise we're going to see when you finally hit the ring? Well, you got your theme song, Future Morgan.
There's definitely going to be a crazy side. Well, actually, there's definitely going to be a crazy side. I wouldn't want to try and get on that side. That's the side that, like, I have the good side and then the crazy side. The crazy side's the side you don't want to be on.
You want to cut a promo before you go, Morgan?
I have not done that yet, actually, so I am going to have to practice that.
Oh, you would rather practice? I was going to say, I was going to let you. Close the show by letting you call out any superstar that you want. I was going to let you call out anybody you want. Is there anybody that should consider themselves a marked woman or a marked man by you?
As of right now, there isn't anybody, but there eventually will be.
You don't want to tell us at all who you've got your eye on right now?
I think I'm gonna let the there's nobody I'm gonna call out. At least
you
not
don't
wanna, yet.
Okay. Well, you don't have to. You don't have to. I just thought I'd give you the opportunity to call anybody out that you wanted to. Well, you know what, Morgan? I'm going to call out some people for you before we go. Ladies, gentlemen of the wrestling world, you are going to have somebody to contend with in the very imminent future. There is somebody hungrier than you, somebody scarier than you, and somebody a lot more determined than you, who's coming for your spot. So no matter what promotion you're in, you better have eyes in the back of your head, and you better keep your nose to the grindstone, because somebody is always working harder than you, and that somebody is Morgan Elise. that's all I've got today. Morgan, coming on the show. Really appreciate you coming on. Keep in touch with me. Do keep me posted and let me know when you've got merch up, whenever you have your first match. We want to know about it. I want to get people to go and watch you get your own little fan group.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you for the support. And I will definitely keep in touch with you.
All right. Thank you, Morgan. You have a great day.
You too.
Everybody, we just got to talk to Morgan Elise. She is training to finally pursue her dream of professional wrestling. She's got a little bit of ways to go, but she's overcome so many obstacles. She's on her way to the big time. Guys, thanks for tuning into the Bareback Facts. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I hope you got some enjoyment out of hearing Morgan's passion for the sport of wrestling and pursuit of her dreams. If you're into the sport, do follow Morgan. Either way, follow her. She's really putting in a lot of work, and she posts updates on her training progress frequently. So I hope everybody will keep tabs on her. Tremendous, tremendous young individual, overcome so many obstacles, and has already been a tremendous inspiration to myself. You guys take care. I'll see you all on Friday when I host Clay Ackerman. We'll talk about his movie blog.